The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So with this style of meditation practice, this receptive form, we're not choosing where our attention should land. And partly because of that, one of the biggest areas of difference, I mean, this is a huge difference between a practice where we direct the attention and try to stay with the breath. So, you know, that's a big difference to settle back and just, oh, what's here now? And now, and now, and now. And the moment of the mind remembering that it's been lost in thought, that moment when the mind has wandered, this is another kind of shift in navigating this kind of practice. First of all, I'll just say that in doing any kind of a new practice, if you're used to a particular kind of meditation practice, in starting a new kind of meditation practice, often the mind will wander more. It's just natural. It's just the mind hasn't quite landed with the new style. And so it's natural for the mind to lose touch with the present moment more often. And also with this style, partly because we don't have a reference point, you know, we can think about the breath, attending to the breath as being a kind of a reference point. And when the mind wanders off of that reference point, it can kind of help to wake us up a little bit. We wake up almost recognizing, oh, I'm not with the breath. Oh, let me come back to the breath. With this style of practice, because we don't have that reference point, sometimes it takes us a little longer initially to remember or to recognize that we've gotten lost. And that's okay. This is just a very natural process with this particular style. And so in that moment of remembering, the instructions in that moment are different than they are in the kind of practice where we're directing the attention. In a practice where we're directing the attention, often the instruction in that moment is let go of the thinking and redirect the attention to the breath or whatever you're attending to. In this style, since the practice is receptive, the exploration is, first of all, recognizing that awareness has come back. You know, the mind has been wandering and awareness is back. And this is another piece of this style of practice, to begin to recognize what it's like to be aware, what it's like to be mindful. At first, that's not so obvious. But in that moment when our attention returns, when mindfulness returns, that's a great moment that we can begin to recognize what it's like to be mindful, what it's like for mindfulness to be there. And so that's one of the first things we explore when we wake up, when mindfulness returns, is, oh, aware again. Awareness is here. So noticing that piece of it. And then it's really helpful to take in a little bit about where you are in that moment. When the mind wanders off into thought, it often constructs a new experience. You know, it's like the mind wandering creates a new landscape, and we wake up when we've been wandering and lost in thought. When mindfulness returns, we're kind of waking up into the landscape that was created by those thoughts that were happening while we were not mindful. And I think you're familiar with this. You know, if your mind wanders off into thinking about what you were doing earlier in the day, and it kind of wanders into a conversation you had with somebody, and maybe that conversation had a little bit of an emotional charge to it, likely when you come back into awareness, some of that emotional charge is there. Or, so there's a little bit of a different landscape that's present when the mind wanders off that way. And so it's useful to check in. What's here now? How am I now? And is there what I like to check in that moment, is there more tension in the body and mind right now? Because that mind wandering into any kind of reactivity, which it can do, it often does when we kind of lose track of things, it goes into our habitual patterns, our habitual tendencies. And so it can wander into something that creates tension in the mind and in the body. And so in that moment of waking up, recognizing, okay, I'm aware, and is there tension here? What's this landscape, and does this landscape include more tension? If it does, then I really encourage relaxing again. Start from that place of, okay, I can relax the body, and just like you're allowing the attention to move through the body and notice where the tension has accumulated and seeing, can it soften, can it relax, can it release? Maybe the mind can relax, play with that image of relaxing the brain. Maybe that will support you. And then once there's a little bit of relaxation again, checking in. And what's obvious? There's nothing in particular we need to pay attention to. There's no better experience than any other in this kind of practice. We simply open to what's here and what's obvious. That flow of human experience. And so in the moment of the mindfulness returning, recognize the awareness, notice if there is tension, and relax. And then again, open to receiving, this receptive stance. What's here? What's here? What's here? There's another possibility for what will happen too when the mind wanders. And it happens way more often than I would have thought. And that is sometimes when the mind wanders, maybe we could call it more drifting than wandering. Sometimes the mind charges out of the present moment. It catches something, like, you know, maybe the sound of the train, and the mind catches that sound, and then it starts thinking about trains and when we were last on a train and what was going on that train, and our mind is kind of charged out of the present moment, perhaps. Sometimes it more drifts out of the present moment. It's more like it's caught the sound of that train, and it just kind of drifts on the sound of the train, and it just goes off into this la-la place, right? You're familiar with both of these kinds of wanderings, I'm sure. When the mind drifts out of the present moment, sometimes it drifts back to the present moment. It's just kind of wandering, and then at some point it's like, oh, yeah, just kind of drifting here. Oh, I'm aware again. In that moment, when we've woken up into that drifty state, more often than I would have ever thought, what's actually happening right there as I wake up is that there's more relaxation in the body and in the mind than was there before. Sometimes our mind wanders or drifts into more ease. And so in the moment of waking up, if we are kind of curious about what's there rather than having an idea of wandering bad, you know, but just what's here? Oh, I'm present. What's here? Sometimes we discover, whew, wow, actually feels pretty pleasant. There's a lot of relaxation. And we can connect to that. No need to do more relaxation, but just connect to what's there. And what's obvious in that moment, perhaps, is the pleasantness of that relaxation. And then what's next? What's the next experience? Oh, there's body sensation and hearing. And so we just, again, move back into that receptive stance. So often the mind wanders. So I talked about the relationship to the waking up from wandering. kind of different instructions than our usual form of meditation practice in this style. But also it's interesting to begin to notice that the mind wandering out of the present moment, we can begin to catch that. We can begin to notice that the way our minds tend to wander out of the present moment is that the attention has shifted to something new, and we haven't actually noticed that. It's like there hasn't been the conscious recognition that the attention has shifted to something new. This is largely the way our minds wander. No, so in the familiar practice of directing the attention to the breath, for instance, you know, we're paying attention to the breath, and that's our agenda. That's what we're doing, and so we've kind of got this idea. Yep, paying attention to the breath, paying attention to the breath, and then the sound of a car goes by, and we hear that. Some part of our mind hears that, but we've got this agenda to be with the breath, but our attention has kind of gotten interested in the sound of the car and has gotten hooked to it without our noticing it. And so that's how our minds wander often, is that our attention has moved from one experience to another and then kind of started thinking about that experience, or, you know, oh, what kind of car is that? Or I wonder where that car's going. So the attention shifts and we haven't noticed it, and then our minds start thinking about it. That's largely how the wandering mind works. So with this style of practice, because we are curious about what I call following the attention, following the awareness, we can begin to recognize that shift. So we're noticing some body sensation, and then the sound of the train happens, and we notice that the attention has been pulled to the train, and we can just know it. Sometimes in that being pulled to the train, we might see that our habit of thinking about what our attention is pulled to might be inclined to start. But because we're curious about following the attention and just watching that process, sometimes there's an opportunity to kind of like the attention starts to wander, but we catch it, and it actually doesn't leave the present moment. We see the attention shift to the sound of the train and see the thoughts start about, oh, I wonder what kind of, oh, I'm aware of a thought starting. And we're aware of it. We're aware of the sound of the train. There's nothing outside of what's available. Nothing that inherently we can't be mindful of. There are things that we're habitually not mindful of, and thinking is one of those. We are very often habitually not aware of thinking. And so we may have the belief that when we're thinking, we cannot be mindful. This is another piece of what I want to explore for just a few minutes with you, and then we'll take some questions. It's possible to think and know that you're thinking. We can do this right now. Right now, I want you to think what your name is and know that you're thinking what your name is. It's possible to think and know you're thinking. My name is Andrea. I am aware that I'm thinking that right now. We habitually get caught. We habitually lose awareness when thinking, but it's not necessary. And so this is another exploration that I like to talk about here. So right from the beginning, rather than having a relationship to thought, set thoughts aside and come back to anything in particular, there's an encouragement to recognize, oh, thinking is happening at a very simple level. Now, it may be that in noticing thinking is happening, we get pulled into thinking, and so we need to have some wisdom around how much we can explore the actual thinking process. But I'm gonna give you some tools for this. So, first of all, you know, becoming aware of thinking is a normal human process of mind. It's really useful. It's how we navigate our day. It's how we navigate our lives. And if we have the belief that it's not possible to be mindful of thinking, there's vast chunks of our life that are off limits to mindfulness. But fortunately, it's not true. We actually can be mindful of thinking. Now, there are vast swaths of thinking that are not so useful for us, not so helpful. And so it's useful also to begin to become aware of when we wake up into thinking, is this thinking helpful or is this thinking actually not so helpful? So that's one thing that we can recognize. So in recognizing thinking, we are recognizing a natural function of the mind, a human function of the mind. It's one of the things that really makes us humans, that we can think, that we can plan things, that we can remember things. We have this notion of past and future through our thoughts. This is part of being human. And this practice of receiving opens us to this fullness of all of our human experience, including thinking. So, can you recognize that you're thinking? At first, it can be just very simple. Just like, oh, thinking is happening. Thinking is happening. It's almost like there's two tracks in the mind. That often, I think, with becoming aware of thinking, we kind of overwhelm the thinking with mindfulness in a way. It's like the thinking, because we get more interested in the fact of thinking, the thoughts disappear. And this is a very natural and familiar thing that starts to happen as we explore thinking with meditation. But it also doesn't have to happen. And sometimes we see this too. You know, we notice thinking and we recognize, wow, I'm noticing thinking, but I'm not stopping thinking, especially if there's something that's pretty charged. So we can become aware of thinking, and it feels like there's like two tracks. We know the thinking, and we know that we're aware of it. So that's the first piece. Do you know that you're thinking? And you can just acknowledge that. Thinking is happening. Thinking is happening. Then another piece that's useful or interesting, especially in the sitting practice, I think right now more I'm going to speak about the sitting exploration of thinking. And that is that our thoughts are going to appear to us in different ways. Sometimes our thoughts come, and I'd say largely a lot of us think as though we're talking to ourselves. Is that a familiar way for you to think, as if you're speaking to yourself? That's one way that thoughts come. Another way, it's as if somebody else is talking to you. You know, every now and then it'll sound like my mom is saying something in my head or something. So it's a thought. I know it's a thought, but it's like somebody else is speaking to me. Or sometimes it just sounds like some radio announcer's voice is speaking to me. So those are different forms of thinking that are coming through almost our the sense door of hearing, even though we know we're not hearing, but it's manifesting as hearing in a way in our minds. So that's one avenue that the thinking can appear, as if we're talking to ourselves, as if we're hearing somebody else talk to us. Another way that they can come is through the seeing. Sometimes they come as images. And this can happen, especially when the eyes are closed, we can really become aware of images that, you know, it's like we remember something that happened yesterday, and we see the picture of it. We see the image of it. For me, beginning to recognize how much I thought in images was a surprise, because I thought I entirely thought in words. But then as I began actually being curious about how my thoughts appear, especially in meditation, I began to recognize, wow, actually, yeah, there's an image there. When I remember being in the Czech Republic in that graveyard, whew, the image is right there. I see all the gravestones stacked on top of each other. So there's the image there. And there's I think we if we have eyes that see, images are a very natural way for thinking to happen. But it's a little bit subtler to see it, so it might not be so obvious at first. And then sometimes, too, we think through our bodies, our feeling in our bodies. So right now, I'm going to, and to demonstrate that this kind of possibility, right now I'm going to ask you to think about something. And keep your attention in your body while you think about this and see what happens. So think about standing up quickly. How many of you experienced a sensation almost as if your body was getting ready to stand or standing? A few of you. That's a kind of kinesthetic thought. You know, it's a way that thought can manifest. I would say it's certainly less familiar to me, but some people think this way. Some people think in their bodies. They think as though they're moving through space. So that's another way that thought can manifest. And so one of the explorations we can make when we're noticing thinking in our meditation is to notice, how are we thinking? Is it coming through the, as if we're talking to ourselves or somebody else is talking to us? Is it images? Is it some experience of feeling in the body? How are we thinking? Not what are we thinking, not what is the content, but how is it coming to us? Sometimes I call this the modality of thought. What's the modality? How is it appearing to us? This is kind of connecting to the process of thinking. Our minds think, and we are curious about how our minds do what they do in the meditation practice. And one of the things that we can be curious about is, how do our minds do this thinking anyway? So this modality is one piece of the process of thinking that we can notice and be curious about. And so sometimes for myself, as I'm exploring this modality, as I acknowledge to myself that I'm thinking, rather than using even the acknowledgement of thinking, you know, sometimes I do use the noting a little bit, especially around thinking in this practice. But what I explore there is not, oh, thinking is happening, but, oh, seeing. You know, the image has appeared, and it's like, oh, seeing is happening. So that it's a recognition, the mindful recognition of how the thinking is happening. Or if it's coming as if I'm speaking to myself, it might be, oh, self-talk is happening. Or if it sounds like somebody else is talking to me, it might be, oh, hearing. I know that I'm not really hearing, and I know that I'm not really seeing. But it's a way to acknowledge that thinking is happening through, and the interest of the mindfulness is connecting more to how the thinking is happening rather than what we are thinking about. So that's one tool that we can use. And there are many times when the content is strong for for our thoughts. You know, when the mind does start to charge out of the present moment, there's many times in meditation that the content grabs us. And in those times, it may not be so helpful to acknowledge it as seeing or hearing, you know, noticing how the thinking is happening, but it may be useful to acknowledge a little bit about the kind of thinking that's happening. And this is a familiar instruction often from the usual practice that we teach here. So acknowledging, you know, maybe it's arguing or judging or fantasizing or remembering or planning. You know, that's a little bit of acknowledgement of the content. So that you're knowing that you're thinking and you're also recognizing a little bit about the content. That can help. If the content is strong, it can help to touch into the content a little bit, to acknowledge the content. Another way to relate to the content when we are exploring thinking and being aware while thinking is to, and this is useful in daily life as well as in the sitting practice, Sayadaw Utejaniya, who is the main inspiration for me for practicing and teaching this form of practice. I learned this largely from him. He talks about, it's kind of like different tracks or dividing the attention a little bit, but there's a recognition, okay, yes, there's content happening. You know, this thought is happening in the mind. And so let the attention know that. I mean, there's 50% of the attention can really land with, yeah, I'm planning this thing. I'm planning that I have to do this later on this evening. So there's the knowing that the planning is happening, and you're not even trying to disconnect from the planning itself, but some attention to the content. So 50% of the attention on the content of the experience, and 50% of the attention on how you are with that content. So it's a kind of a, let yourself, it's okay to have those thoughts, it's okay to be thinking about them, but see if you can keep some of your attention with yourself. Is there agitation around that planning? Is there tension in the body around that planning? Is there an emotion that's coming up around that planning? So that there's the acknowledgement. It's not trying to stop the thinking. And it's not even, sometimes we say, you know, let go of the thoughts and turn back to what's happening here. We often give that instruction in the usual form of practice. It's like, yeah, let go of the thoughts and see what's here. In this case, I would say it's more like, rather than turning back this way, it's stepping back so that we're still knowing that we're thinking. There's still the thinking is happening, and yet we're allowing ourselves to step back into this experience here, our body, our mind. So it's a kind of stepping back. It's including what is happening, so that 50% of the, and Sayadaw Utejaniya says, you know, it's 50%, 60%, it doesn't really matter, you know. It's just this sense of allowing the thinking, knowing the content, and stepping back and knowing how I am with this content. We can do this with thinking. Ways that we can practice that, because it takes some skill. It's a skill that we develop. It's probably, at least for me, it wasn't like, I'd hear somebody talk about this, it wasn't like, oh, instantly I can do that. But it is a skill, and we can explore learning about it. And I'd say that there's a couple of things we can do to cultivate this skill. And one is while you're reading. So if you're reading something, if you're reading the newspaper or reading a book or something, let yourself slow down the reading a little bit. When you're reading, you're taking in the content of somebody else's thoughts. So your thoughts are coming into your mind when you're reading. And we're not trying to ignore that content, but we are trying to open to, how does this content land? So we read a headline in the newspaper. Stop there for a moment. How does it land? So this is a practice that we explore. Content, how am I with that content? Read another headline. Content, how am I with that content? Read a paragraph, the first paragraph. Stop a moment. Content, how am I with that content? So that we learn this skill of the knowing content and knowing how we are with content. So we can explore that with reading. We can also explore it with writing. In writing, we are thinking thoughts and putting them down. Writing an email, we are thinking thoughts and putting them down. And so it slows the thinking process down a little bit. And so we can maybe write a sentence. Stop. How is it for me, having written that sentence and thought about that content? How does it feel thinking about the other person reading that sentence? So that we, again, explore the content of our thoughts and how we are with the content. So those two tools in our daily life can help us to cultivate that skill of being aware of content and how we are with the content. So developing this capacity to be with thinking while it's happening. We can play with it in the meditation, and it's very helpful in our daily lives to begin to recognize, I can actually be aware that I'm thinking and how it lands for me, how it impacts me to think. But it is not so easy at times. Because we do have this habit of losing mindfulness while we think. And so initially it's helpful to take it in small doses. Maybe just start with that we know, okay, yep, thinking is happening. Yep, I know that I'm thinking. And maybe checking in a little bit, how am I with that thinking? And then perhaps initially, until we get a little more skill with it, maybe choosing to direct the attention to something else, taking our attention out of the thinking. See if it might help to relax the body and then start to receive again. So there's some skills that we can cultivate around thinking, but it's like taking it in small bites at first. You may find that, you know, if you try to explore thinking a lot, that you'll just get lost a lot. And so we need to have some discernment about how much to try to do that initially. So I'd like to open it to comments or questions. Yeah.
So since your recent day long, I've been using this practice. It's new for me, and I found it very natural, I guess, is an observation. The one question I have is the relaxation part that I think is emphasized, and I tend to find myself slumping or more when I was more focused on the breath. Is there some effort issue I need to, or some ardency or something?
In the slumping, does it feel like the mind is...
Posture, mostly posture.
Okay, so it's the posture. It doesn't really feel like the mind is less aware?
There may be a bit of a sinking sometimes, but still aware.
Okay. You know, one of the things that we explore is more... I mentioned the attitude last week and again in the guided meditation, but partly what you can do there is check in, what's your relationship to that experience? You know, the relaxation, you know, sometimes if we're in our normal kind of meditation, we have this idea of, okay, I need to sit like this, you know. And that's actually adding tension to the system. And so a little bit more relaxation in the body, even to slumping, is not necessarily an issue. We're more interested in, is the mind alert or not? And so checking into the alertness there, is the mind slumping too? If it is, then, you know, that you might find that sitting up a little more straight can bring some alertness to the mind. But you can also just be curious about, okay, yeah, so the it feels like a little bit of dullness in the mind. Can I know that? Can I be aware of that? And I'll talk about this. Well, I can talk a little bit about it now. So often, I think in the familiar style of practice, we have kind of ideas or familiar thoughts about a kind of alertness that's necessary to be mindful. And dullness of mind doesn't qualify, basically. And so we feel like when the mind is dull or in that state, that we have to do something to shift the state of mind in order to be attending again. And to some extent, with the style of practice of picking an experience like that, picking the breath, for instance, you know, when we're directing the attention in that way, when the mind is dull in that way, it's harder to connect to that experience. And so there's a little bit of that kind of changing the state of mind so that we can connect is useful in that style of practice. In this style of practice, we're more exploring what's happening and can I be aware of that, which includes a dull mind. So on the day long, perhaps, I gave this analogy about a mindfulness being like a mirror. You know, mindfulness reflects whatever is happening. And it doesn't care what it reflects, particularly. Mindfulness is just a very natural function of mind that knows what's happening while it's happening. And it can know thinking is happening while it's happening, or it can know pressure's happening while it's happening, or it can know anger's happening while it's happening, or it can know a sound of a train is happening while it's happening. Mindfulness doesn't care, actually, what it reflects. It simply does the job of knowing, oh, this is what's happening in the present moment. So mindfulness doesn't have any agendas about what it needs to reflect. It just reflects. Similar to the way a mirror reflects things, you know, it's like you can put a beautiful a mirror in front of a beautiful field of flowers or a decaying corpse, and the mirror reflects. The reflecting power of the mirror is not impacted by whether it's beautiful or ugly or whatever it is. It's not impacted. It just reflects. It's got this very neutral quality to it, that reflecting quality. And so now let's think about that mirror when it's coated by steam. It's coated by steam in the bathroom after we've had a shower. And if we have an idea with the mirror that it needs to be reflecting what's in the room, we're going to try to change the state of the mirror. We're going to wipe it down, you know, we're going to do something to it. And that's generally what we want to do with mirrors. You know, we do want to see ourselves, we want to see what's in the room. And so we're going to do something to wipe the mirror off. But we know the mirror is already doing its job. It is already reflecting perfectly every drop of water that's on that mirror. So it's doing its job. It's just not doing the job we want it to do. And similarly with sleepiness in the mind, it's kind of like that. It's like mindfulness can perfectly reflect a dull, heavy mind. It can perfectly, yep, dullness is happening. It can know that clearly and perfectly. But often, because we're meditating and we have some idea, we think, I'm supposed to be paying attention to something. You know, I'm supposed to be knowing clearly the sound of the train or the sensation of my body on the chair or something. We have some idea that what we experience should be a certain kind of thing. The nature of the mind that is dull or sleepy or heavy like that is that it kind of pulls us back. It's like the fog on the mirror. You can see the vague outlines of what's in the room, but you can't clearly see what's in the room, and that's kind of the nature of the mind with dullness. The mindfulness can perfectly reflect that dullness. And so that's something that I like to encourage you to explore the possibility of. And you can start by just recognizing, yeah, okay, I know that the mind is dull, or I know that it's heavy, or low energy, or sleepy even. So if you can be aware of that, be curious about the state of the mind itself, the fogginess of it, the mistiness of it, the non-specificness of it. You know, I think often in the way we pay attention to things is much more familiarly with specific experience. I can know what it's like to touch this glass. I can know what it's like to look at that object. I can know what it's like to hear the train. So very specific experiences. That's easy for us to experience. More vague experiences, such as the state of sleepiness, it's a state of the mind than it is a specific thing that we can point to. And so it's a little different. It's a different way of being mindful. It's not like you're looking at something like this. It's more like it's permeating you. The state of that sleepiness is permeating you, and you're with it. And so there's a sense of being with the sleepiness and noticing just how it is to be sleepy. So exploring it from that perspective too. So, you know, you might find that as the body slumps, maybe the mind slumps a little bit, but you can also be curious about, okay, slumping mind, what's that like? Another analogy I sometimes use about this kind of experience, the state, it's almost like it's a wash of experience. You cannot say, you know, that's the sleepiness. You can't point to it like that. It's like being being in a place where it's very dark outside at night, and the sky is clear. I actually had the great joy to spend a week in the desert in February, and during the new moon, so it was really dark. And the Milky Way is amazing, you know. You can see individual stars in the sky, and then there's this wash of clouds and fuzz and thickening, and you can know the wash of it. And so there's this way that we can kind of step back. It's more like a wide-angle lens, taking in something broad than it is looking at an individual star. It's like this wash of the Milky Way. That's kind of what being with sleepiness is like. And there's so many different kinds of mind states and experiences that have that non-specific nature, that it's really helpful. And I learned so much I had a 2-year stretch of my meditation where sleepiness and dullness were a big part of my practice, big part of what was going on in my practice. And finally, when I just like, okay, this is what I get to pay attention to. I learned so much, both about the possibility of being aware in those states, but also about being with these very non-specific experiences and how much that opened up. You know, the willingness to play with being with sleepiness opened up so much a capacity for being with very unusual or unfamiliar states. of mind. So this is a little bit of a cheerleading. I find it so interesting and helpful to explore that possibility, so I'd like to encourage it. Yeah.
So when I cope with thoughts, I realize that there's when you're engaged in the thoughts, right, there are energy with it. Then the more you engage with the thought, is this kind of increase the energy level for that train of thought? Sometimes there can be.
So when you become emotions. Mindful of the train of thought, it increases the energy of that thought? Is that what you said?
I mean, when I engaged with the thought and knowing that.
Oh, yes, there is more energy when we engage with it, yes.
Right, I mean, I'm aware of the energy that associated with that train of thought.
Yes.
So is this kind of like, I know the thought, but I'm still engaged with the thought, so that's why I know that the energy.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And you can begin to, in that process, you might recognize, I think this is a piece that I use. When you talk about it this way, I think it points me to something from my own experience. It's like, I'm aware of a thought, and I'm aware of being, you know, knowing the thought and engaging with the thought and aware of how I am with it. And if the energy, you know, the energy goes up some, sometimes the energy goes up in a way that's what we might just call energizing, you know, that it feels useful. And sometimes the energy goes up in a way that it's heading into emotion. And so when we see that, that might be a useful time to use some wisdom to recognize, ooh, I'm paying attention to this thought, and I'm seeing the mind heading into reactivity, anger. Maybe it's time to step back. And not engage so directly with that thought. So that's something you can use that energy feeling. I think I do that. You know, it's like if I find myself thinking about something and then notice that the mind, I see this particularly in the middle of the night. You know, I wake up, I might be anxious about something. Yeah, you know, the presidential campaign. And then I see the anxiousness and feel the energy kind of rising as I'm with that. And then it's like, okay, well, let me not think about that right now. But then I notice that the mind has picked up on something else with that level of energy. And if after two or three of those, it's like, okay, it is time to let go of thinking right now. And it is time to just come into the body. You know, because sometimes the state with a particular thought has enough resonance that it'll kind of filter over into other. So use that. I mean, we can be aware of it and then recognize, oh, okay, maybe it's time to be a little more directed about the attention. So the basic tool that I'm teaching here is this receptive attention, and yet there are times when we need to direct the attention. Because that receptive quality is just receiving, receiving, receiving. And in times what's received is something that is stronger than our mindfulness has the capacity to really be fully with in that moment. And so we need to learn skillful means for stepping aside from that. Maybe directing the attention to something else. Like I did with, like, okay, I'm just going to be with my body right now so that I'm not in that pull into the agitated mind.
So another question I have is, how do you engage with thoughts without being charged, without being energetic about it? Because, I mean, when I try to move with the energy, right, I drop the energy, thoughts also go away.
Yeah. Yeah, and the energy goes up. Yeah, and you know it's as I said, it's a learning, you know, it's a practice, and you will find your way into it if you're willing to keep exploring, It's like what we're doing with this style of practice is trying to expand the terrain into which mindfulness can go. And it's a slow practice. It's a slow process. So it's not that we immediately are able to do something like that. So what you're describing, though, is you're describing very, very well your experience. So I would say it's you're learning a lot about it, and there's not a way I can tell you, oh, here's how to watch thoughts without having the energy go up. You just have to watch thoughts and notice the energy go up and pull back for a while, watch thoughts again. You might at some point then begin to recognize, oh, here's a place where I'm watching thoughts and the energy is balanced. So you'll kind of begin to move into it. There's nothing I can say, you know, here's how you do that. I learned about it through, it's like trial and error. You learn about it through just keeping playing with it and recognizing when, as I said, you might have to take it in small doses at first. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say there's an end state so much. I would say there are times when the capacity, you know, depending on many conditions, the capacity is available to be with thoughts without the energy going nuts. You know, that's just like that the capacity is stronger at times. And then at other times, we find that maybe a particular kind of content is stronger than our capacity to be with it in that moment, and so you know there's it's going to be uneven.
Right.
Yeah.
I see what you mean is you know the capacity that you have over time. And
yes. Sometimes we can match that capacity, and sometimes we can't.
But at least, like, you don't have it overflow the capacity too much, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely improves over time, I'd say. But there's still times when I lose it completely. I mean, you know, so you know, it's. But I would say the capacity is much greater over time.
Right.
The capacity is much greater. The energy, yeah, and the skillful management of the energy increases too, but again, it's uneven. Sometimes, you know, the way the practice unfolds, it's not like this steadily, you know, increasing capacity like this and one like rising, you know, thing. It's much more like like this. And so we can't even evaluate over, you know, 2 months or 5 months whether our capacity is increasing, because, you know, it might be that we're here one day and then 2 weeks later we're here. And so it's really varied, and a lot of it just is part of it is dependent on, you know, maybe just how much sleep we've had, or how strong the thing is that we're dealing with, or whether somebody's had an argument with us yesterday. Or so there's so many conditions that come together that influence that capacity. So it's, but I can just say that if you keep working with it, you will gain in that capacity. You'll definitely gain in that capacity. Thank you. We have time maybe for one more, if there's another question. Yeah, pass it over here. I think it's not on now.
I have a little dilemma, and that is that I have a belief that there is value in the state of being relaxed and centered and quiet and still, and that.
I'm wondering if the mic just died. Yeah, try it. Hold it a little closer. It was crackling, so I wondered if the battery was going. Yeah.
This way.
There you go.
That state of stillness, the value is that it tends to counteract stress responses and tension.
The stillness that comes from the being with one experience, like the breath.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so in practicing this week, this technique, I have experienced that state also and been able to stay aware, oh, what's happening here, oh, that sound. But it seems like a distraction to me from that state of stillness, which I attribute as having value. So, and that is probably a judgment of mine. And so I'm trusting that this process that you are teaching has value, and you were talking, alluding to expanding the terrain of awareness. And I assume that's where this is going to integrate this.
Yeah, there's a number of ways this practice has value, and I will say that that state of concentration also has value. And so, you know, I don't want to put this out as being better in any way. It's different, and it's got its own value. And so I found for myself the value to be actually supportive of coming back to that practice of concentration from a new perspective. So I found the learning this style thoroughly has broadened my capacities in my other practices as well. So that's another reason for it. Partly it's the, I talked about this in one talk where I talked about that we can direct the attention and receive. You know, we can turn the attention to the breath and then receive the breath. So it's kind of a blending of the two. And this is what I found, that, you know, learning this receptive style gives more capacity for that approach. And the receptive practice, I mean, it does expand the attention into new areas in a way. You know, if you're always choosing what to pay attention to, there are going to be things that you miss. And so this broadens our capacity to be with things that we maybe are unfamiliar with, things that we wouldn't necessarily ordinarily recognize. And, you know, the freedom that the Buddha talks about is not something we can know what we're looking for. And so I do really think that this exploration of what are we receiving helps us to land in that kind of freedom. So yeah, there's definitely value on both sides. I wouldn't say that you have to stop believing that the other has value, but I'm happy to hear that you're willing to play along for a little while, because I think if you keep playing with this style for these weeks that I'm offering it, you'll begin to taste some of it. And then, you know, taste some of the benefit. And then maybe exploring how to integrate with that other form of practice. Yeah. So thank you. And it's time to stop. So thank you.
Yeah. Do you have the books?
Oh, the books. Yes, I have the books, but they're in the car. So... No, it's great. Thank you. I asked you to ask. So if you would like, I'll bring them back next week. But I have books from my teacher, Sayadaw Tejaniya. It'll take me about a minute to go out to my car and bring them in. If you would like a copy, I have enough for everybody. So I'll go get those. And if you can wait a minute, I'll bring them. So Thanks.